What's going on, people, man? You're tuning to episode 16 of the It's Not Easy podcast, man. We've got a new guest in the room. We've got Thomas in the room. How are you doing, bro?
I'm all good, man. I'm all good. Yourself?
All good, you know. All smooth, man. How are you feeling today, man? How are you feeling this week?
I'm good. Do you know what? I'll come off a good win on the weekend. We beat Tottenham.
Yeah.
Anytime Arsenal win, I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
Start off the week with a nice little W. So
that was a big win, man.
It was needed.
Like, it felt like a monumental win, that.
Yeah, there's not many cup finals left. 3 more cup finals.
Yeah,
hopefully win all three.
Yeah. It felt like a huge win. Yeah, it felt like, and it also felt like a huge moment for Saka as well, man.
He needed that.
He needed that, man.
He needed it.
The slack that he's been getting recently.
He needed it
about the running. Yeah,
the last few weeks he's not been at his best.
Yeah,
so he needed that performance yesterday. Yeah. He was good, man.
Yeah, and I'd even say like it's the first performance of his in a while where he looked fresh, like he looked like he was ready. Like he didn't look like he was.
Do you know what I mean? The way Spurs plays into our hands. They play extremely high up.
Yeah.
Leave tons of space in behind, and obviously that's how he got his goal, just running in behind.
Exactly,
haven't spotted him, and then yeah. So I think the way they set up played into our hands.
100%,
and that's when Saka just just went at his best.
Yeah, and it was so refreshing, like to see us have space in behind again. Yeah. And the last time we had that, man.
Do you know a lot of teams nowadays?
Even against City, like, we didn't have that.
Yeah, a lot
like,
of teams.
That was the best team in the league. Yeah, like deep. So, nah.
Spurs it was great playing, to have that. They're playing suicidal ball,
innit? Yeah, I mean, they play their ball, so fair play to them. Yeah. But, let's start with some quick fire questions, though, yeah?
Go for
Get us ball rolling. You know they say, you got to do warm-up first, innit? All right, cool. So, time or money?
Time.
Damn, yeah. Wow.
Because if you use it wisely, you can make a lot of money.
I always want to know what people say about that. Yeah, I hate in that. Yeah. Cool. A vacation or a trip with the lads?
Vacation.
For real, yeah.
Vacation.
I'm on you on that one still.
Nothing wrong with going out with the lads.
Of course. Yeah. Vacation, you been to any?
No comment.
yeah, we're flowing. Yeah. I hear you, bro. All right, cool. A treble or the whole season unbeaten?
I'm going to say treble because we've already done the other.
Yeah, cool.
We've already done the other. I'll say treble.
I hear you. Okay, cool. Are you a morning session person or an evening session person?
Afternoon.
So what time, though? Like,
if I can get one in around midday, I'm good.
Midday.
Morning, no.
You don't like mornings?
Do you know what? Recently, I've started doing it.
Yeah.
So me and one of my boys, we start getting in the morning like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm sluggish. I'm even like a zombie, but I'm trying. I used to be a 2 a.m. person.
Oh.
It's crazy. So I've done all three. I've experimented with everything, but this is the calm middle ground for me now. Afternoon, yeah.
So wait, on that, the 2 a.m. session, like, is it like, I'm assuming quiet gym.
It's just being the cleaners. And then the scary Eastern Europeans. And then it's just us not in there.
Yeah. But you just lock in, innit?
Just lock in, zoned out. It's easy for filming content as well.
Yeah,
so true. Content back then during those hours as well.
It got easier for that, innit?
And the gym's just quiet. You ain't got to ask people how many sets you got left. You just do your thing.
That's serious though. All right, cool. Working out with a friend or solo?
Depends on my mood.
Do you know what I mean? I hear that.
But if I had to pick one, I'll probably lean more towards working out with a friend.
Okay.
It depends on me, but I'll say more towards working out with a friend.
I hear you still. Yeah. Cool. And the last one, it's quite an interesting one. Prime Zlatan or Prime Suarez?
Ooh, that's a tight one.
And why as well?
Prime's Latin or Suarez. Do you know what? I'm going to go Suarez.
Okay.
I think longevity-wise, you could probably lean towards Latin because he was winning leagues at Ajax, I think, when he was like in his early
20s. Yeah, 1920.
He's gone to Juve, he's gone to Inter, he's gone to Barca, he's won
everywhere.
Even at 35, he came to England.
And still did his thing.
Still score goals. But I just think Suarez on his best day
is like, is unreal. They're both unplayable when both fight, but
Suarez on his best day, and I'm guarding, and we know he done with the handball,
so I
hold a guard. But even I got to admit, Suarez on his best day,
cool.
I'd probably just edge it Suarez still.
Cool,
yeah,
that makes sense. I think I'd go Suarez, you know, because like, you know, when he was like, I think maybe it's like, to be fair, it's tough, man, but I think I'd go Suarez because Suarez, I think, is a more complete player in terms of like, even like the intricate parts of the game, the link up, the passing move, and finishing. Even like his hold up play was good. Like he was good at everything.
He was.
But same as Zlatan as well, though.
I think Zlatan's like 6'4", 6'5", yeah. But the way he moves,
yeah,
and everything, his acrobatics and stuff, it's crazy for a man his size.
So. And then you'd maybe even say, but Zlatan, he probably didn't have that threat in behind like Suarez could do in this time.
Yeah.
So that's probably where they might edge it. But
it's fine margins, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It's two legends though. But let's get into it, Mel, man. I wanted to start like kind of taking it a bit further back. I wanted to ask you like, what was your first like experience or memory of like fitness of you growing up? And how did it like kind of grow and mature as you got older?
My first experience was probably school gym. So when I was young, I used to do PGCSE.
Okay.
And one of the benefits of that is we got to have access to the school gym.
Yeah.
So just go in there, do some pull-ups, press up, just play around a little bit, grab like an 8kg dumbbell, thinking you're...
Yeah, you're the big guy.
But yeah, it was just fun for me at the start and obviously just spending extra time in the gym to try and get better at other sports that I was doing. Mm. But that's probably, my first early experiences. And as you get older, you take it a bit more seriously.
Yeah. And so like, what would you say like was the moment when you started taking it seriously? When like, you started thinking, okay, cool, like, it's something here. Like.
When I started paying for it,
yeah.
When I got my gym membership and I started paying for it, then yeah, because you got to get your money for money.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's when I started taking it seriously. But if you mean in terms of what, like physique, PT, and or how do you mean?
Let's start off with just like on a personal level, like physique. Like when you start taking it seriously, okay, cool. You notice like I want to be the best version of myself.
I would say in my first 6 months of training at a gym.
My first. How old are you?
25.
No, as in
when I first started.
Yeah, first aid.
When I first started in the gym, I was 18.
Okay, 18. There, 18. Yeah,
I was
18
when I first started.
Is there like an age that you'd recommend though that at the start? And I always hear that like, oh, a certain age you should let them grow first and stuff.
I think 18 is a good age.
18, but yeah.
But I think when you're young, always try and be active. So whether that's through sport, whether that's through calisthenics, just push-ups and stuff like that, always try and be active as a kid, you'll take those good habits with you as you get older.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's important to just try and be active as a kid, 100%.
Yeah,
but from weight training and from a gym standpoint, I think 18 is a good age.
18 is a good age, I'd say. Yeah. So on the timeline, 18, you start going to gym, you start flowing, and then it's built from there, and you just start.
Yeah, so.
When did you become the guy that, Thomas is bland.
I'd say in my first like 6 to 8 months of training.
Okay.
So I just literally like no motives.
Yeah,
just stop like no motives at all. Just literally college, gym, work. That cycle, that discipline just kept my head down for about 6 to 8 months and then put on some good sights. Like when I first started off, I was about 67 kg.
Yeah.
Blew up to about 75 in a couple months.
That's
it. Put on some good sights from it.
So what kind of like pushed you or I'd say or motivated you to be a discipline at that age as well?
Good question, you know. I've always had good genetics.
Yeah.
When I was like playing around in the gym when I was younger, when I was like 15, I saw a bit of size and I thought, if I take this thing seriously, it's peak.
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling myself. So I started taking it more seriously and the more results you get, the more you kind of just want to keep going.
More motivated to go further, innit? Yeah.
I want to start setting targets to lift this and to do that.
Yeah,
that was literally it, man.
Nah, that's serious. Yeah. That's serious, though. And then from there, I guess it grew. Like, when did you start thinking, okay, cool, I can make something out of this in terms of like a career or like a hustle? Yeah, like, how did that start coming into play?
To be honest, this was always plan B.
Okay.
This was never really plan A.
Okay, so what was plan A then?
Plan A, so I wanted to do psychology.
Okay.
I wanted to do psychology at uni and be a psychologist.
And, I hear you.
Yeah, life went full circle. Things happen.
Yeah, and, I hear you, man.
Yeah, this happened to be plan B. And with this, I'd say maybe a year before lockdown, when I started to think, okay, do you know what? In the near future, whilst I was at uni, I was thinking this ain't really for me. I was thinking in the near future, this is what I want to really start focusing on.
Yeah. So would you say that, like, you know, the plan A, as you called it, like, would you say it was more of a, like, you found out a bit later that it's not really for you? Or, like, how would you say, like...
What, in regards to uni?
Yeah, like, how did you pivot? Or why did you pivot?
I think I would never advise anyone against education.
Of course.
But I just think if you're going to go to university, make sure it's in a career field where it's fundamental. And for when my interest started to lie, it wasn't fundamental. And naturally, I'm a more practical person. I like working. I like meeting people. I don't really like studying.
Yeah.
So it was just, for me, counterproductive. The attendance wasn't as good as it should have been.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
and obviously the money you're paying as well. So just weighing up all, everything and from that I just thought, you know what, it's not for me. Obviously, West African parents.
Yeah, of course.
You know how it is.
Doesn't go down too well, isn't it?
Yeah, it didn't go down too well. But sometimes you just got to be selfish and just do what works for you, man.
You got to
be selfish sometimes. So yeah,
it's quite interesting, like, because I heard that quite a lot, and it's like, me personally, in the phase where you're picking your options and your course for university, and I'd heard like bare stories about if you go and you don't do something that you enjoy, you end up not liking it and stuff. So I was quite selfish from early on. So I went to university. I did sport journalism.
Okay.
That's something I just loved. I loved ball. Mm-hmm. I loved reading articles. I loved to see the people in the punditry. Like, I loved seeing reporters. Mm. I thought, no, I'm going to do it. And my dad at the time was like, bro, like, it's not really seeing something that has a big longevity. And it doesn't seem like something there's a lot of money in. But I was like, I'm going to do it, man. Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, that can happen.
Yeah,
and granted, like, I pivoted from there now. I'm now, like, I work in PR. But it was still, like, an element of, like, I wanted to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead and do it. And I think that helped me see me through. So, like, if interesting.
Do you regret it now?
No, I don't.
Okay.
As, like, a lot of the skills that I picked up in doing that even helps in my passion now. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to edit, ask questions, and interview, like, you know what I mean? So a lot of those skills I've been able to bring through. But no, like, it's interesting that you say that. But yeah. Yes. So on the timeline though, we're still on that timeline, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So you said is 2019 now?
When I first started training?
No, I said the year before
So I first started training, I think it was 2016, I think it was.
Yeah. And then the
2016, yeah. 2016. Yeah.
And then the so along the journey, how did the like personal training kind of come into it? How did you pivot into your personal training?
Very, very natural. It will just be me training in the gym.
Yeah.
Someone asking me in the gym, for example, how'd you do this? How'd you do that to build this and whatever? And naturally, I found I was quite decent at teaching.
Yeah.
Just give someone a quick two pointers on how to tweak something in their technique.
Yeah.
And then, from then, I just went and got myself qualified.
Okay.
If you're good at something, you should always try and monetize it and don't do it for free, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so the papers for it.
Got myself qualified.
How was that process though, of doing the training and so on and so forth for it?
It was cool, a little bit frustrating because once I got myself qualified, obviously lockdown had come as well after. Gyms are closed.
Yeah.
So it's like you're taking a big step forward and now you've got to take a whole load of steps back
because
your environment to work in is basically shut and obviously restrictions, we weren't allowed out.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll do things like two people at a time. It was just hard, innit? So hard,
how did you like power through that then and come through to the other side, like where you are now?
I don't know, you know.
I couldn't
tell you. I think I'm quite focused and let's just say there's a few people I want to prove wrong.
Okay.
So because of that,
You go ham. Because
obviously me obviously choosing to leave uni wasn't a popular decision.
I hate you.
So I need to now make them see why I left and justify my actions, basically.
Now, I hear that, so that's serious. You know, we touched upon the being a PT. What's the most enjoyable thing about like helping people reach their goals?
Or being a personal trainer? It'll be things like, let's say, for example, they're wearing different clothes than they used to.
Yeah.
All of a sudden now they're talking about maybe girls before that they weren't talking about, but you can see that their confidence is starting to
build. That's serious.
That's the nice thing about PT, is when you see people actually change physically, verbally, see a little bit of cockiness to them as well. It's cool.
You know, that's so deep because like it really does, it can impact like someone's whole life, like how they view their whole life. Like, you know, when they're when you're confident in your body, you see things in like a very different way. Do you know what I mean?
Man, the way you carry yourself, the way you dress,
the way you speak, like the way you,
your posture, your demeanor, everything's different now. So
everything's different.
Yeah, definitely.
Nah, serious. So what would you say like is like a, I don't know, like a difficult part of being PT? Like, not so favorable parts.
I think there's a lot. To be honest, there is a lot. Time wasting is one.
In what sense? In what sense?
It's probably the same with every self-employed business, but people that maybe will come to you be like, yeah, let's start, but then they're not really. So time wasting.
No time locking. I hear you.
Inconsistency, because obviously I always say personal training is a privilege in the sense of it's not by force to have a personal trainer. Yeah. If you've got the funds for it, it's a privilege to have one.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, it's not a necessity to have a personal trainer. So you've got to understand that as a PT, you're a privilege in someone's life. Mm. So there'll be points where they might drop you because, listen, I can't afford this or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know, Christmas or whatever.
That's
so
real.
So there's a lot of inconsistency that you need to prepare for. So money management is crucial for that.
Mm.
Very, very crucial. You need to know, okay, this month let me chill.
Yeah.
Yeah, this month let me let loose because, you know, you just need to be smart about how you go.
You gauge what's coming in. Coming. That's really interesting. That's so true because...
You've got to gauge from it,
You know, when you think about it, it is a luxury, right? Like it's not necessary. So, of course, but I guess it depends, I guess, who you target, because some people it is in a sense I need to get right and I need someone to help me. But then I guess you could say you're quote unquote your regular people, it's not crucial. Helpful, but it's not crucial. So it's important to have that mindset on it. It's self awareness of it as well. Mm-hmm. Of knowing, okay, cool, it's something that I do, it's luxury, but how do I make sure that it's so good that people need it?
I think personally everyone needs a personal trainer. And I say that because even the best athletes in the world have trainers.
That's true.
The best coaches had a coach before. So everyone needs to be coached in some regard.
That's true.
Myself, I could do with a trainer.
Yeah.
Everyone can always learn. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in that aspect, I think, although it might be a privilege, it's still a privilege that everyone would benefit from. Do you know what I mean?
At the same time. After the COVID years,
mm-hmm.
you started doing your PT.
Mm-hmm.
It's flowing. How are you feeling at this point? Who was your first customer? How did that come about? The first one's always it's got to be memorable like that. Who was the first person who paid you for your service? because it's that's funny
though. I remember now as well. So when I got myself qualified, or when I started even training, before I even got qualified, when I started training, I used to go to this kebab shop across the road.
Yeah.
Boss one was feeding me good.
You
saw the gains coming through. Okay. He was my first client.
Okay.
So funny.
He just shouted you
It's just looking every time I see you coming in here, you're just getting bigger. I was like, yeah. And then conversation.
Yeah.
And then, next thing you know, just started training.
Started
training for a couple of months, lost a little bit of weight, and then, just kicked on from there.
Yeah.
But to touch on your previous question about after COVID, so after COVID is when I started to work in a gym. Completely different ball game.
And now people are seeing, okay.
People are seeing you, and now you've got a lot of things to focus on.
Yeah.
So now I've got to teach classes.
Mm.
And I'm someone who's naturally quite shy.
Yeah.
But you've got 30 people staring at you and you've got to teach a circuit class and it's like...
So
it's a bit...
In those uncomfortable moments, you learn so much, right?
Fight or flight mode.
You just got to... You learn so much,
You just got to go for it, so...
So I'm assuming you went through the route of you're working at a gym and then from there, you help people, you do classes, you do so on and so forth.
Yeah, pretty much. You're on the gym floor.
Yeah.
Just... Deal with member inquiries, helping out tidying equipment, classes and stuff like that. And
serious. And have you now gone more on independent route? No.
So not independent, I've just changed gyms. Independent on the side.
On the side as well. A combination too.
I'll have a base and then I'll still have private sessions that I travel to also as well. Yeah.
Oh, that's good, man. So
a combination of the two.
Yeah. Now serious. It's great to hear that after that journey of seeing someone helping them reach their goals. Mm. And then from there, I'm assuming the snowball just starts to build, right?
Yeah, literally just keep going on from there. And the more clients you have, the better you get at your job.
I definitely
think so as well.
You get better.
Just practicing, learning new techniques, different ways of motivating people. Yeah. And you've got to be adaptable as a PT.
Mm.
By that, I mean, you can't be the same person to everyone.
Yeah.
You've got to be different. So for example, some people might need a stern hand.
Yeah.
Some people might need just a little gentle encouragement. But you've got to be adaptable to how they need to be motivated.
Yeah.
So that's another thing.
But how do you find that pocket of I guess you'd call it the discernment of knowing, okay, this person needs that, this person needs this. Mm. You just pick up on things, right?
You do pick up on things. I think naturally I'm quite chilled.
Yeah.
I'm quite laid back. But if you see people now taking that as a way to be a bit lazy, you've got to remind them. Paying for a service, let's put in the work.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's serious. I wanted to ask though, so, what's it like being a personal trainer for, people in our community, blacks? What's it like in terms of...
That's probably been a lot of my clientele.
Yeah.
Do you know? I'd probably say it's been a lot of my clientele.
Yeah.
It's cool. And obviously, with a lot of them, I can relate to them culturally.
Exactly. So, it helps.
So, I know, for example, if I'm telling you to eat X, Y, and Z, but your mom's trying to make...
Yeah.
I know how it is.
Yeah, you know how it is.
I can relate to them culturally. And once you understand someone, you understand how to motivate them as well and what motivates them. So I like to find people's reasons for training. And once that's I find your reason for training, it makes my process a lot easier.
Get aligned with
how to motivate you.
So I need
to find your reason, your why, as in why you came to me, why you started. Once I know that,
we can build
my life a lot easier.
I want to also ask as well, and the question that like I've always kind of had with being a PT, like, is there like, are the people who come for like a period of time and eventually they'll just like almost just need like the jump start of, okay, like all the basics in the gym, all different exercise, all the techniques, and then they'll go and fly on their own? Or are the people who like stay along the journey just there? Or does it vary?
It varies. So I've had people like who are, they don't have to do a press up, they don't know how to do anything. They've come to me and then, I don't know, after 6 months, they're ready to take on the world. And then I've got people who are strong, like proper strong, but they still come to me because they just won't do it by themselves. Laziness, motivation, whatever it is. So you get a mix and match. I think it's good to have a target audience, but don't limit yourself at the same time.
100%.
So even if you specialize in something, still be open to other people as well. I think it's key to just be versatile and open.
Nah, serious, man. It's great. It's good to hear about that journey still. It's great. I want to jump into a few of the dilemmas that we put out.
I think that you put out today,
isn't it? Yeah.
I'm curious to see what you
asked. We have a couple still, and it'll be interesting to see. Of course, we put out the ask on our stories on our social channels, and a few people had got in touch. So let's go through them. So the first one is, I'm a 24-year-old girl from London, and I'm going gyms since I was 19. And over the past year, I've been consistent. But I struggle with the body dysmorphia. So like when I look in the mirror, I don't see any progress. And she goes on to say, but when I do see progress, I see it as unflattering or me being big. And I'm not really sure like how I should approach it or let me forward from that feeling. Is there anything that you'd say towards that?
Yeah, so I get what she's saying. And I've always said this to clients. Progress is very complex in terms of how you want to measure it.
Yeah.
I don't think you should look on just the scales for progress. So if you're pushing more weight today than you was once upon a time, that's progress.
Yeah.
If you're fitter today than you were yesterday, that's progress. If clothes fit nicer, that's progress. Do you know what I mean? If you just limit to how you look in the mirror, I don't know. Don't limit your progress to just one thing.
But you see visually,
when you're
right?
excelling in other things as well.
Yeah.
So even if you're going for 5 years, it's 5 years of consistency. It's progress from day one.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? It's still progress. So it's all about how you interpret your journey. But always try and take some positives from what you're doing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, with the and the topic of body dysmorphia, is it something that you come across quite a lot?
I would say so, yeah. I would say so, yeah. It's natural because most people that come to you for personal training aren't happy with their body in some capacity.
Yeah.
And even when they are, like even myself, for example, when I've looked to most people, like, yeah, he's in shape, still thinking.
He's quite right, yeah. Always something.
Something's a bit, yeah.
Your own cynic, innit?
To most people be like, bro, chill out, man. Like, you've done enough, go home. And I'm just
it's a small thing.
It's naturally... I think everyone's in the gym for a reason. A big reason why we go to the gym is because we are not happy with how we look, or we want to change something.
Yeah.
A lot of us aren't satisfied. It's just a cycle of life, isn't it? We just always want more. It's like just greed.
Nah, I hate you still. That's serious though.
Pure greed, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And the second one, cool. Also 24. I'm 24 as well, so I think all the people are reminding people, cool. So this one, I am a 24-year-old guy from London. I work out. I've been working out consistently in recent months, and I've been trying to stay in calorie deficit. In my weight loss journey, I've been seeing some progress, but I feel like where I'm not quite right is what I'm drinking. And eating as well. Could you offer any guidance or helpful drinks or fluids to be taken?
So, drinking. Life? You'd be surprised how liquid calories can just stock up. So if you're doing, let's say, fizzy drinks, it's going to stock up. Or, I don't know, sugars in your tea, it's going to stock up. So just try and drink a lot of water. a lot of water. Boring, but listen, he gets it done.
It's done, yeah.
Food wise as well, just be careful with what you eat. I always say to people, a cheat day is very dangerous. A cheat meal is cool. A day, you can accumulate a lot of calories that will basically ruin your whole week's worth of hard work. So just be careful with that. Yeah, just be cautious with it.
Yeah. I think that shows. I think the, I guess, I'll have you start my, gym journey as well. Like, now, I'm so, I would say, I'm conscious of, like, all the grams and all the, like, ingredients and everything I eat.
Oh, you're paranoid, like, everything now, you're looking at the back of everything.
Yeah, and it's like, now, I'm deep in, and they put so much information back there, and they put everything that's on there back there, but, like, you know when you're not really caring, you're just flowing. But now it's like, rah, like, all this is there. And, like, in all the things that, like, you'd be eating on, like, an everyday basis, it's like, all the information's really there.
Yeah.
It's about applying it and, do you know what I mean, making the right decisions.
But I think it's, I know I probably shouldn't say this as a PT, but I don't think it's healthy to always weigh your food, always track your calories.
Yeah, I don't weigh. I can't be asked to weigh.
I just think jarring. We're not trying to, obviously we're trying to promote a certain lifestyle, healthy lifestyle, but we're not trying to have you feeling, let's say for example, you went 200 calories over what you should have had and then all of a sudden you're starving yourself the next day.
Yeah.
Your relationship with food, whether you're trying to lose or put on weight, needs to be healthy.
Mm.
Always. Whether you're trying to lose or put on, it needs to be a healthy relationship with food.
Mm.
And you should never deem it as a punishment. So you shouldn't overeat, you shouldn't undereat intentionally to make yourself feel guilty or feel better about something. It's, so you've got to be careful. So I do say to people, if you want to use it as a way to measure progress, like your calories and stuff, I understand, but just do it with caution.
Don't
get too obsessive over it.
Because
then you're not going to enjoy the process, man. And if you're not enjoying something, you're done.
No, that's real still. That's serious still. So, like, you know the element of, I want to touch upon this as well, on the element, so, doing your personal training, I want to touch upon, like, the element of building the brand. Obviously via online and social media channels as well. When did you, like, in your point of view, become intentional about, like, building a brand online, on TikTok, and, like, how you go about that?
So I've started to notice that, let's say, I'll go from maybe 2016, 2017 onwards. Social media is like your website in today's day and age. So your social media is everything. So you got to catch on to the trend and run with it. And for me, I'd say maybe after lockdowns when it really started to take off. I started my page back in, I think, 2017. So a little while now. But I'd say only after lockdown it started to take off. But I've always been consistent. So anyone who's followed me back then will tell you.
You will know.
Like, from when I had plaits to now, like, I've always been consistent. So
when did you cut the plaits off?
I was like 19, 20.
Cut off. I feel you.
But it wasn't the one. To get rid of it.
But no, but that's serious though. Like, I think there's so much, I'd say, value in, like, building an online brand. Like, it can literally be 90% of your, like, revenue income
through
people seeing you online, people seeing you on Instagram or TikTok or whatever it may be. So that's, it's huge, and it's good to see that that's been, like, a priority for you as well.
And I think you got to just latch on to, you just got to keep up with the times. This is the thing now that's catching on. Like, even recently, TikTok now is the most common thing, so I've just recently made the TikTok because this is what a lot of people
This are. Is where people are, you know what I mean? So, you go towards the people, innit?
You just got to keep up.
100%. I want to touch on, of course, a recent, like, a moment online. You know the, like, a situation on Twitter?
I've got borrow notifications on my phone. I said,
oh, God.
Like, Jesus, man.
How did you feel about that whole moment? Like, how did you feel, like, from your point of view, honestly?
Luckily for myself,
I'm
secure with myself.
Yeah, of course.
So if I was, let's say, insecure about the way I looked, that would have been bad. That would have been
people.
I understand not everyone's ideal body type is someone that's muscly and whatever, but I don't do it for them.
Yeah, I mean, for you, so I mean, it's for you.
Each to their own.
Yeah, I understand.
But I'm not really fast.
It was good to see, like, a lot of people showing support and stuff in the comments and stuff. And I'd probably say the support was probably more.
The support's nice, but I don't really let anything get to my head. So even I know how this social media thing works. Today it's support. In 3 months' time, it could be I fuck this PT. So do you know what I mean? So whether I don't get too excited, I don't get too down. It's just if you support me, thank you. If not, just scroll past.
If not,
just scroll past.
You get on with it. Nah, man. It's interesting. And, like, of course, as I guess like on things like Twitter as well, like everyone has their own preference, everyone has their own things, but I think a lot of people are saying that you don't need to project your own I guess preference on other people.
Yeah,
you've got your preference, your preference. I got my preference, you got yours. You know what I mean?
Like,
Them got put on other people's, but that's online for you. That's never gonna change, isn't it?
The thing is,
that's never gonna change, bro.
I've seen, let's say, dad bods. I think that's what it's called. Get a lot of love.
Yeah,
I've seen skinny boys get a lot of love.
Yeah,
it just depends on the season.
exactly.
You know, it just depends on the season. So
yeah.
You gotta take whatever someone says online with a pinch of salt.
And just
focus, man.
Yeah, 100%. That's good, man. And obviously, I saw a lot of people saying that, use that as good marketing.
Listen, as soon as I saw my thing was blowing up, first thing I did was, I need a picture of my uniform. David Lloyd, bang, I'm based in West London.
Yeah, bro.
Shout me.
You got to. But during that time period, though, is your phone going off like crazy? Like, was it mental?
So, I remember now, I was at work.
Yeah.
So, when this whole tweet came, I was at work.
Yeah.
And I'm just going on Snapchat. And it was one of my clients, but we're calling it. And okay. He texted me, he's like, they're roasting on Twitter. What the fuck did I do? What did I tweet? And then I've gone back. I just seen the video is just blown up. It's got bare numbers. And I'm just looking through the quotes. And I'm like, say nothing. But like I said, luckily I'm confident within myself.
Yeah.
And it's important to be. But one thing you got to realize when you do fitness and you're posting your body like half naked on the internet,
people are
you're exposing yourself to, I don't know, his body shit or he's too big or whatever.
Yeah.
It's natural. But if you're not confident in yourself, it will get to you. So you just got to remember why you do this, what you do it for, and just carry on from there.
It's quite interesting. It's quite interesting that you mentioned that actually. Because now, a scenario that's came to my mind. Yeah, let's say if you were to settle down soon, and beautiful missus, future's all set. You guys on the same page. You guys are. I mean, you guys are set. You guys are smooth for the future.
I'll see where this is going. I'll just see where this is going.
And then let's say, like, how would you feel if, like, the person you're with wasn't comfortable with you, like,
what, posting stuff online?
Yeah,
like being half naked.
How would you feel about that, bro?
If I was doing it before you, and you kind of knew that this was a thing,
you knew, yeah, you know,
it's a bit different to me all of a sudden doing it.
Starting it,
you know what I mean? And with my field of fitness, it just comes with it.
It's part of it.
And you kind of, well, especially the way I've styled my content over the years, you kind of want to be a role model for what you're promoting. So
exactly.
If I'm promoting a certain lifestyle,
you got to show
I need
that.
To look and promote that lifestyle to other people as well.
100%.
So,
yeah.
They just hopefully have to be understanding with what I'm promoting. It's not just because I'm doing it out of vanity. It's just because this is part of my industry.
It's part, it's your lifestyle as well. So, it's bigger than that.
Yeah.
So you never put what you're doing aside for
No, I don't. Because this isn't just work for me. I enjoy what I do.
Yeah.
I love what I do.
Yeah.
So I'd rather have that support
than
doing what I love. Yeah. And
No, I think that makes sense. Yeah. It just came to mind because you mentioned you put your body online. So it came to mind.
You got to be. People are comfy on the internet.
Bro.
You got to be strong minded.
Yeah.
As I always say to people, if you're going to do social media, especially in this field of fitness where you're exposing your body and posting pictures naked, like half topless and whatever, or I should say half naked, whatever.
Yeah.
Be prepared for what people got to say.
100%.
Yeah, be prepared for what people got to say.
And I think that even goes wider with with life in general. Like, whenever you put anything out there into the world, you have to be prepared for what people say. That's just life. Like, even, for example, this pod, like, you put it out there into the world, people can, like, scrutinize it. People can say, that's poor conversation, bro.
Yeah.
People say, oh, nah, but like,
if you now stop this because of this pod, you're limiting yourself.
Do you know what I mean?
So you got
to
carry
limits
on.
You have to, do you know what I mean?
Carry it on.
Yeah, so that's, and now, is super interesting still, but let's get into some hot topics, man. It's a hot topic lineup, man. Have you been seeing like all of the car fest recently?
Yeah, man.
What's going on there, man?
It's crazy. You just got to be careful in London, man.
London,
it's like even all over UK, but you just got to be careful. Like, this is not safe,
bro.
Especially when you got money.
Yeah,
you gotta be careful, man.
I'm seeing like even when like
mad.
Even the windows are tinted. You guys like you never know what's in there. Like you guys are just, you know what I mean?
And just literally just grabbing things and just running off with it. Like you gotta be careful. But what can we do? What can we do, man. This society nowadays.
Yeah, it's just not safe. You just gotta try and protect your stuff. Yeah,
literally, it's just not safe. So
protect your fingers that are like you know what you see and you know what you value, put it in the right places and hope for the best. Nah, that's serious though. I've been seeing like a lot of it, especially on TikTok as well. I'm like, wow, like
cars are just getting bland.
It's mad, bro. It's been a lot of it as well. There's an interesting one though. I've heard about it. So, over the past week or so, Rishi Sunak, he has announced plans to cut health benefits.
Is it when he was talking about sick? No, was it sick pay? No, I saw this recently. He was talking about a sick note.
Yeah,
he wanted to make it harder to get a sick note.
Yeah, so there's a few bits. Yeah, cool. So the sick notes, and then you also got the mental health benefits. So people who don't work, but it due to their like mental health. So like mental health and anxiety. A lot of people, of course, who don't work because it's so bad that they aren't able to work function. But he's saying that in
he's basically going to work.
Yeah, he's basically saying that in total, it's costing the UK 850 billion a year to fund the people. Of course, who aren't working into mental health things. Now he's saying, of course, there's people who genuinely cannot work because it's I'd say a severe issue. But he's saying that there are people on the spectrum who. You guys are really okay, bro. Like, if you guys got serious, you guys could work. But you're taking them out of the system. Yeah. How do you feel about it?
So I do think there's a mixture. So I'll put it like this. I do think naturally nowadays there's more self-diagnosis. So people will say that they're depressed or they're suffering from anxiety. I think a bit more now. And, you know, let's say when I was younger and I was learning about this in psychology, like with depression, for example, you need to be prescribed antidepressants or you need to go through cognitive behavioral therapy to cure your depression and stuff like that. Nowadays, a lot of people diagnose themselves as depressed. But I think what he's doing is being a bit dismissive to people's problems. And you need to be sensitive to people's problems. If they feel like they're not able to work.
Yeah.
Offer them that time
and
just try and offer them the help. Like, okay, if you're not able to work, that's fine, but at least try and offer them something,
counseling
or whatever. Because I think it's even hard to get a diagnosis for certain things as well.
Waiting
lists and stuff like that.
Waiting lists, exactly.
So, I just think be a bit more open-minded to people's problems.
Yeah.
I do understand there are people taking libbies.
Of course.
Naturally, but...
That's human beings, isn't it? And I did see, like, of course, he's open to offering, like... counseling and stuff to help people, by essentially saying we can't have this many people on mental health benefits because the economy is going to slip, and it's costing the economy so much every year, 850 billion a year.
But put money to one side, let's just say you got people going to work. What if suicide rates go up?
Yeah.
So what do you care about more? And let's be real. We probably know what answer it is for them, because economically for them, if I take my life today, the government, they don't affect me. Do you know what I mean?
But you're costing them money.
But if I'm costing them
they
money,
they care about that, boy.
Well, I won't pay my taxes. Best believe they're calling me. Do you know what I mean? So
they care about that.
But society issues, I think just be a bit more sensitive to them is what I'd say for him in regards to people's mental well-being. Because if you're not correct up here when you go to work and you're given... you know, half-hearted effort.
Yeah.
And you end up getting sacked.
Then either, isn't it?
Yeah, you end up getting sacked then.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
It's messed up
either way.
Yeah. And he was also saying, like, it also has a huge impact on the taxpayer as well, because the reason why you're seeing the taxes go up as well, because it's now, and there's more to cover now, because there's more people who are self-diagnosing, as you mentioned. So it's kind of like a cycle of, like, they're not happy, we ain't happy, no one's happy, bro. Do you know what I mean?
No one's happy. You just got to find... The thing is, you can't make anyone happy, but... what he can do is just try to be a bit more sensitive to people's feelings. We all know that people maybe self-diagnose themselves as, you know, as suffering from anxiety or as depressed or whatever. We know that. But even if they're not diagnosed, it doesn't mean they're not going through stuff. It doesn't mean that you should just force them into work. They're still going through X, Y, and Z. Even without a diagnosis, still offer them that time off that they need or a helping hand.
So,
I hear his stance to an extent, but it's a bit insensitive to... other people actually going through stuff, so
it's true. I think we're interested, like, and see how it you know, what happens, and if those cuts actually happen, see how it, like, impacts the economy as well. It'll be very interesting, but we will touch upon some ball things, though. Obviously, it was a huge weekend, but as we look forward now, though, three games left of the season. How do you think about our chance of a title, man?
My head is telling me City.
Yeah.
The common sense is telling me Man City.
Yeah.
The passion is telling me, no, we can do it.
Yeah, we can do it.
Do you know what? Never say never, man.
Yeah.
Never say never in football.
If we lose hope, then what's the point of football, man?
Do you know what I mean?
There's no hope in football.
Keep that little percentage of me that thinks we might win it.
Yeah. So it's something that could happen.
What about you? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking, a bit like as you mentioned, I think City going to win the league. That's just like, you know what I mean? And you got to deep it. Like, they are motivation as well. Yeah. Like, 4 years in a row has never been done before in the Premier League.
It's crazy, man.
So, like, they also have their motivation for it as well. Also, you got Haaland, who came back against Nottingham Forest. He came on and scored. And now he's going to be fit for the rest of the season. He's going to be fluent for the rest of the season. Mm. So, I just feel like their, I'd say, the biggest challenges, I think they'll get over them. I think they'll overcome them. Whereas, I don't think it'll be enough. But like, I did see like an interesting tweet a bit earlier during the afternoon, and it said that Pep has already lost 3 league titles.
I think I see. You probably
saw this tweet. Yeah,
it was, I think it was Jose's Madrid team.
Yep.
I think it was Conte's Chelsea team. And I think Klopp's Liverpool team.
That all three of those teams all got 90 plus points.
It's crazy, but this is the standard.
That's the standard with Pep.
This is the standard.
Arsenal this season, like the max we can get is 89.
Which is still good.
It's still good, it's probably not enough.
Yeah.
So it does go to show, that with Pep, he sets the standard so high.
I want to ask you something. Do you think Arteta could win the league with Pep still here?
Yeah, but it will take our squad reaching another level that we aren't there yet. In terms of another a level of, when I say squad, our starting 11 is good enough, I think. But I think our squad, in terms of certain games where he has to rotate players and certain games where he needs like fresh ideas or fresh impetus, we don't have that. Like, City were able to bring, you know, Jack Grealish, he'd been injured for a lot of the season, right? But he came back, and his impact, you've seen it in terms of he's got a, he's got fresh ideas and fresh impetus that's helped them in certain games this season. So it goes to show that, like, having players like beyond your starting 11 who can help you is crucial.
Yeah.
You know, when you want to go against a Pep team and really do it. But now I think about it though, you know, that Chelsea team under Conte, that team is like, crikey, how did they do it? But I think
the team weren't that good, man.
Yeah, it was
It weren't that good. They had like Marcos Alonso and Diego Victor Costa, Moses,
Hazard, that front Pedro, then you had Kante, Matic,
Fabregas might have been there.
Yeah, he was there as well.
Maybe Conte was there.
Yeah, he was there. Like prime Conte as well. Was there. You still had David Luiz, Cahill,
Azpilicueta was decent.
Azpilicueta, Courtois, or top team.
But I don't think it was a great Chelsea team.
But like, I think the reason why they won it though is because Pep's team, it wasn't there yet. It was good team, but like he wasn't there yet.
I agree.
Like he wasn't like his Pep team yet. So that's why like they almost like sneaked their league title before he got serious.
Because I agree.
If they came in like during his top tenure, I don't think they would have done anything. Do you know what I mean? So like it goes to the standard they need to beat a City team, man. That's the standard, bro.
This is what we gotta aspire to. And I don't think we're far off. And I think in recent years, I know people talk about the trophies, but I think you should always look at where he picked up the club.
Yeah.
And what was his initial expectations. When he came in, we weren't expecting him to win the league.
Yeah.
We were expecting him to get us up. We was 8th when he took the job.
I'd
say this is the first season where we've expected Arteta to challenge.
Yeah.
Because last season we finished 2nd, but no one really expected us
to go for the title. Yeah.
This year we spent nearly £200 million in the summer, so that comes with a lot of expectation. And this is the first year where we've been expected to compete, and we have.
Yeah.
We might be unlucky. Next year we need to go and win it.
We need to
go and win it. So that's the mindset we got to have.
100%, man. And we'll see how the title running goes, man. Hopefully. Praying that we get over the line, because I feel like if you look at our team and what we've done this season, it deserves another league title.
I don't even think City have been great this year.
We've scored the most goals.
Yeah.
Look at most clean sheets.
Yep.
At least conceded. Like, we're the best team, but if you don't win it, you don't win it.
It means nothing.
It just nice stats on Twitter, bro. It's just nice stats on Twitter. Yeah.
That's the thing, so.
It's just nice stats on Twitter, bro.
Real life, man. So we'll just have to see. But I'm. It's not impossible. Yeah. I'm relatively optimistic But I would say I'm about 80% Man City, probably to win the league.
Yeah. So we'll see what goes on. But as we look through like at the rest of this year, we've got some of the months that are coming up as well. How are you feeling about your fitness journey, PT journey, as you look forward into summer? How are you feeling?
Very happy, actually. I'd say very happy. I think I've put in work recently, recent years especially, and it's now really starting to really take off. So I can improve a lot more, and I will do, but I'm quite happy, I'd say, with how things are going. And I think in the near future, summer going beyond will be good. Hopefully dropping some new ideas and new things to release soon, which I'll get into on socials when that time comes.
But 100%.
Yeah, I'm happy. Yeah,
100%. I'm happy. I did actually want to ask you, this one question, and it comes off the thing that we spoke about earlier about Twitter, it's really interesting. As obviously, like, it's clear that you are serious about your fitness, serious about your health, about growing, do you feel like some girls ever get, like, intimidated by it? Because you're so, like, you're serious about your, like it's not a job to you. You think it ever impacts that or not really to you?
Maybe. To be honest, you'd have to ask. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think with guys, it can do.
Yeah.
Because I'll have, like, let's say, for example, I've been accused of steroids so many times.
It's
crazy. So many times.
That's crazy, yeah.
And I think people are kind of hoping for me to come and say one day, I'm taking steroids. Because then I think they'll feel a bit more.
A bit better at that. Okay, I'm not as good as him. That's why.
He's a cheater. He's a cheater. That's why he looks like that.
Yeah.
I don't take nothing.
Yeah. All natural,
So, from day one
till
now, about 7.5 years training, I don't take any steroids. I've never tried pre-workout. Don't do creatine. I've had a handful of shakes in my life.
Are you into protein shakes then? Do you think they're impactful?
Take them for convenience. Don't rely on them. If you're someone that can't cook four times a day, I hear it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's easy to just grab a shake and mix up and then go from there. But if you've got the time to cook something, I'd always pick, give me chicken over powder. That's just my thought.
I hear you.
But take them for convenience. And if you maybe struggle with getting, you know, all of these calories for your food and whatever, then it's a good way to get your calories in liquid form.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It's a good alternative, but it's not a necessity for me. What I hate, one question I hate, when I get a new client and then they ask me, okay, so what protein shake do I need to buy? I hate this question.
Yeah.
I don't like this question.
Yeah, because it's like, it's so much bigger than that. Like, it's not about right?
Because it comes to me saying, okay, what food should I buy? Do you know what I mean? It comes to me saying, what food shall I buy? I want to know what's the right things for me to eat. Not what protein shake should I get. Let's sort out your nutrition. Let's make it a habit. Let's focus on that.
And that first.
Because you won't need that if you're doing this correct.
That's real.
You won't need it if you're doing that correct.
That's real. So, I've been a victim of that, I'll be real. Of like you come into the fitness game, like, cool, I got pattern protein shakes.
I got
supplements. Is that bro?
But you know, I don't blame you. Yeah. I blame our industry for making you think this is what you need.
Because
this is what I get it. Because obviously, listen, people are trying to sell a product.
Yeah,
and maybe they've got brand deals and whatever. But this isn't a fundamental to build a muscle.
Mm.
You don't need to go and have shakes.
Yeah.
It can be helpful. Don't get me wrong, but it's not a necessity. But I understand people trying to monetize and build a product. So
No, that's serious, man. That's serious. The protein shakes things is something that you hear a lot of. But as you say, like, you can get enough in your diet, of course, if you eat right. But if you want to supplement your diet every now and again,
you can do your thing. Yeah,
it's an option. Yeah, it's an option. No, I appreciate you jumping on, bro. It was really good to hear about the journey from the start, how you kind of got into fitness and how it's grown and built from there, man.
Hopefully, we'll just keep going.
Of course, guys. If you like that episode, ensure that you like, you comment, subscribe. Of course, got more, conversations coming with people who have an interesting story, people who do interesting things that are worth speaking about, man. So, of course, ensure that you like, you comment, subscribe. We've got more episodes coming up, and have a blessed week, man. Peace. See ya.